导演应该是
同声翻译吧，两个都说。
哦，因为你看看第一次。OK, I think I'm speaking English. So, thanks Martin for the invitation. And I think I'll just go straight to my talk. So, I'm going to talk about the Holy Shit. That sounds interesting, isn't it? So, the goal of my talk is to kind of change your mind a little bit, to change your conception of the world a little bit, and might even change your life a little bit. So, just to say it, to change you from maybe a chat room potato to an active contributor in the society or in UIC or in your university or in the community that you are in. So if you read these things or if you watch TVs these days, you will find that the worst us. Or is it really the case? You would have read articles about earthquake, the rising house prices, nuclear meltdown, and all these bad news or disasters. But here's why. Newspapers grab your attention so that they can make more money from the advertising that they sell to advertisers. But here's the point that I want to make. I think that is just an illusion. I think the world that we live in is not all of disasters and bad news. I think the world that we live in are full of interesting and good or even positive news. Well, before that, I want to talk a little bit about blind spots. All of us have blind spots in our retina. So if you are not familiar with that, I mean, you can have a piece of paper, draw a cross and a dot on that piece of paper, hold it like in an arm's length in front of your eyes, and you move that paper gradually, slowly towards your eyes, and say you close your right eye, and then at a certain point you might find that you could not see the cross, or if you close your left eye at a certain point of this movement, you would not see the dot with your right eye. That's to say we have blind spots on our visual system. But I think we also have blind spots in our cognitive systems, in the sense that we are so often blinded by the media of the bad news that we forget that there is good news happening in our world every day. But I think time has changed. Here are three stories that I think matter. First story is Ubuntu. So Ubuntu is the name of an operating system that many people use. How many people in this room actually use Ubuntu? Please raise your hand. So we have 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, that's amazing. So Ubuntu, it is a word that actually means I am because we are. It is a word from an African tribe, a South African tribe called the Zulu. So it is a Zulu word. What's interesting about Ubuntu is not the technology of itself. Because I'm not a programmer myself, but what I'm interested in is the community that is behind this system. So I guess community is not something that many Chinese would be familiar with, but I myself am not familiar with the communities at all before I got to know this operating system. But since the day that I got to know it, I learned a lot from becoming part of this community or becoming part of this ecosystem. So what can you do in this community? If you are a developer, you can write code or contribute code, or if you are a good writer, you can write the documentation. If you are an artist or a designer, you can help with the artwork. Or if you just have 5 minutes to spare, maybe you can submit a bug report. All these things are very little on the individual scale, but when they add it up, it will become something really big, something that is even making Microsoft afraid that there is this whole bunch of people from all corners of the world that are trying to build something which is of very high quality and all by their volunteer work. The second story is a story of the OLPC. So OLPC stands for One Laptop Per Trial. It is a project initiated by a MIT professor called Nicholas Negroponte. And Nicholas is also the founder of MIT Media Lab. So the mission of this project is to give laptops to 6 to 12 years old kids and enable them to learn through the laptops or to learn by constructive learning. There are lots of people participating in this project, including some people in China. They have an office in Hong Kong. What's amazing about this OLPC project is not that they are giving away laptops to the children for free. It is the fact that many people are participating in this community, just like they are participating in the Ubuntu community by contributing their time to write some software or to write some activity or to even organize some activities for the kids in their community. So again, it is the idea of community that really impressed me. And the third story is about a company called Patagonia, which is a company that I ran upon in Austin last month. So what's interesting about this Patagonia company or its product is that, say, this is the footprint chronicle of a jacket by Patagonia. So from this map, you can see that it is designed in California, then they are assembled in Vietnam, and they have an office in Japan that creates the recycling materials, and they also have a distribution center in Oregon. So it is a company that is trying to embrace the environment and also to embrace humanity and local communities in their business, which is it is not just making money, it is building something bigger than a business. Quite a few weeks ago, I watched a video by a musician called Brian Eno, in which he said that we are entering into an age of generosity, by which he means that the contributions of individuals added up could make something big, and this could even bring about some paradigm change. I hope he is right. What I really am into is the good news of the world. It's like we are blinded by the bad news, but there are some good news happening, just like what I mentioned, the Ubuntu community, the OLPC community, and the Patagonia philosophy, that kind of stuff, that are seldom got introduced into our minds. That's part of the reason that I started Tattoo China with a friend 3 years ago. It's like we knew that Tat is about good and positive things that are happening in the world. So we translate the Tat videos into Chinese, and also we try to promote this positive thinking in China to make people aware that there are good things happening. Now, what if we ask more what if questions? What if we could reframe problems and to turn bugs into features? Let me explain. So these are the posters or banners that you would see on university campuses every day. But when the event is over, they are often thrown into the trash bin, like for no use. But what if you could recycle that and turn it into a product? A product that people like and they even buy it, which is, in a way, make it more environmental friendly, and you're also building a business. And what if we could reimagine a better future? A future that, say, represented by the Ubuntu philosophy, I am because we are. And we could like also maybe share our shit. I mean, in the sense that if you look at the world as a system, a recycling system, you will find that nature or the world itself does not have trash. It does not produce waste. All the waste produced by nature could become food. So if we embed that kind of thinking into our thinking, I think we could build this kind of future. And that is a future that we could believe in. Can you play the video? you can see from the video, it is most of the times our imagination that imposes limits to our action. And if through imagination we are kind of like thinking as if we are living in a dangerous world, then we behave as if we are living in a dangerous world, which is not really the case. But if we could reimagine or to imagine a world that is better, that is more prosperous, that is more good for the human beings, then I think we could definitely build such a future. I hope you will love this Buckminster Fuller quote. And thank you for your time.